by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Well, there was a wealthy businessman who was on his deathbed, and his preacher came to visit him, and the man said, "You know, if God would miraculously heal me, I am going to give $1 million to your church." And so, would you know that God did miraculously heal that man? And he was better, and he was released from the hospital, and life for him was really good. Several months later, he bumped into the preacher. And the preacher said to him, "You know," he said, "it's really miraculous what God did in your life. It's just a few weeks ago that you were in the hospital and you were dying. And it was also then that you promised that you would give $1 million to our church. Just a reminder, I haven't seen any of that money yet." And the businessman said, "Did I really say that?" And the preacher said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I guess you can tell how sick I really was." Give a lame man a break. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about some of the promises that we make. We've all been through those scenarios where we bargain with God and we tell him, "If you do this, I'm going to make this promise. If you heal this loved one, I'll be like, do this or I'll give that." And we do all kinds of things. And the other thing is that when we become part of a member of a church, generally, no matter what church it is, there are some promises or vows of membership that people go through in that reception ritual. And today, I want to talk a little bit about them because I think it's appropriate. Today is our annual congregational meeting. Today is over the past year, we've done some changes in the way we do our reception of members. Today, if somebody wants to become a member, they go through a total of 4 classes rather than 1 quick shake and bake class that we used to do. Spend a little bit more time sharing the highlights and the parts of our ministry, the things that we believe. And we kind of, at the same time, through the guidance of our Pioneer Leadership Work Group, we decided that we would also tweak, in some ways, what it is that people say when they come up here. We kind of brought it into the way we talk now. We got rid of a lot of the these and thouists and all those kinds of things. But I'm wondering how many of us who are members are really aware of what we do and really think about the promises that we ourselves made way back when. And today I thought I'd take this opportunity and share that. If you would please grab your outline that is in today's bulletin. It looks like this is going to be a long message, and it really isn't going to be if we can work together. But promise number one says, a member affirms his or her belief that the Bible is the inspired word of God and the authority for our lives. This is very significant in the world in which we live. Do you know that there are probably only about 33% of professing Christians who believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God? 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Sad to say that a few weeks ago I was at a Tamaqua ministerium meeting, and the Ministry of CareNet was there presenting the launch of the center. And one of our pastors here in our community contended with their doctrinal statement, which says, the Word of God, or the Bible, is the inspired Word of God. 33% of believers are the only ones statistically that hold to that truth. And by affirming that promise and making that statement as a member, you are saying that I believe the Bible is God's inspired word. And you also say that you will take it as an authority for the way in which you live. It becomes the authority of your life. Promise number two, a member affirms his or her agreement with our mission and promises to assist in fulfilling it. Now, we talked about this recently, so maybe you can tell me, everybody should be able to tell me, what is our mission? Okay. To know Christ, to grow in Christ, and to make Christ known. Now, how or in what ways should a member of this church be helping to fulfill that mission? I'll take four answers. What can you do? Tell people, thank you, making Christ known. What else? Tell somebody what he's done in your life. Use your spiritual gifts. What's that? Get involved, okay? Get involved. All right. Promise number three. A member promises to live a life of love. You know, one day Jesus was walking and there was a bunch of religious leaders that confronted him, and they were trying to test him, and they asked him, what was the greatest commandment? And you know that he said that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he also said that equally important is the fact that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. And so as a member, we promise that we are going to live a life of love. That means we are going to love God more than anyone, more than anything. And we also promise that we are going to love others, even those that are unlovable. And we probably can guess some of those. The promise tells us that we need to demonstrate that love in tangible ways. And it also tells us that others will come to know Christ in fulfilling our mission through the love that we show. Just going to move right on to number four. Promise number four. A member affirms his or her belief that making disciples is our primary purpose. Many times when someone comes to the end of their lives, they want to take an opportunity to quote unquote get things in order. They might express their love for their family. They might seek forgiveness in some situation if it's necessary. They might confess faith in Christ or maybe confess a particular sin to have a right relationship with Christ. Usually, when it comes down to the wire, what's important is what is important. The same was true for Jesus. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, gave his disciples some instructions. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it's recorded him saying, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we could go on and we could say in Tamaqua, in Coaldale, in Lansford, and to the ends of the earth, or whatever that is to us. And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Jesus was going to ascend to be with his Father. He was in the presence of his disciples just one more time, and the most important thing he said to them was that they are to be his witnesses. They are to tell people everywhere about him. Making disciples, my friends, has to do with helping people to know Christ as their Savior and then helping them to grow in their faith. The purpose is that they'll grow spiritually. Everyone who professes to be a believer in Christ should be, or should consider themselves to be, a disciple. And a disciple is one who is seeking to pattern themselves after Jesus. Now get this statement. Every maturing believer should be discipling others. Now that does not mean that every maturing believer needs to be a triad leader. Not what I'm saying. But if you are a maturing believer, who are you nurturing, encouraging, and helping along in the faith? That's part of your God-given responsibility. And that takes on various appearances. It could be a mentoring relationship. It could be a teaching relationship. Could be all kinds of things. A few years ago, we entered into a relationship ourselves with Navigators. And Navigators was teaching us, or taught us, some principles on how to make disciples. Since that day, many of you have been involved in the discipling ministry of Bethany, and I'm grateful for that. But I wish I could say that many are now discipling others. You know, the key to discipleship is multiplication and not addition. I have a slide here. I hope it makes sense to you. I'm going to try to explain it. If you look at the left column, it shows a year of ministry. The next is daily addition, and the far right column is annual multiplication, or I put multiply because I couldn't fit multiplication in the box. And you can see there, if in year one I was able to share Christ and create one convert every day, for 365 days, at the end of 1 year, I'd have 365 converts for Christ. And if I invested a year sharing in the life and ministry, mentoring, discipling, helping one individual to grow, to know Christ, to grow in Christ, at the end of a year, I'd have two. Not very impressive. And most of you would say, well, why would we worry about multiplication? Are you a dumb preacher? Look at the columns. But I want you to look down a little bit. Look at line 12. What do you think happens there? Line 15, what do you think happens there? So on and so forth. All of a sudden, because multiplication, because you're working with somebody who's ultimately working with another person, and then those two people will ultimately work with another person, and then those four people will ultimately work with another person, that after a period of years, the multiplication is astounding. Do you realize in 33 years we could reach the world's population with Christ and disciple every one of them? That is why it is so important for maturing believers to be working with someone. And that's biblical. The scriptures clearly teach us that older women are to work with younger women. Men should work with younger men. Couples should work with other couples. And how important it is that we are investing in those lives. But not so we can create people that are smart and could recite the books of the Bible. We want people that are able to take the things that they've learned and teach them to someone else, to multiply those efforts. My friends, every once in a while I hear somebody say, you know, I thought this discipling ministry would go just so much faster. Well, first of all, it isn't really fast in the beginning if you look at the multiplication column. But the key to getting to the figures as you go down the line is multiplication. People being discipled with the goal of discipling someone else. That's the important part. Okay, move on. Promise 5, a member promises to financially support the ministries of this church and God's kingdom. Every one of us, when we stand here to become a member, we promise that we will give of our time, talent, and treasure to the Lord in a way in which the Lord prospers us. And the Bible does teach us principles in regard to giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul talks. He says, "Now regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of the week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned." Okay? The Bible teaches that we should do that cheerfully. Later in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it says, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." And so when the offering plates are passed on a Sunday morning, we should all have a smile on our face. And we should hope that the way in which we're honoring God with our money puts a smile on God's face as well. Now, we all make that promise. And I know nobody likes to talk about money. That's my least favorite subject to preach on, by the way. And that doesn't make me a strange bird, even though I'm strange. There's lots of pastors out there that hate talking about money, and I'm one of them. And recently, I asked our financial secretary to get me some data. And what I did was, I went through our membership, and I represented a family unit. And I came up with 60 family units, people that are members of our church. And of those 60 family units, they attend our church regularly. At least they would say so, okay? And I asked Kay to put those people into four different categories. I said, one category is there's no record of giving. That means they could throw money in the offering plate, but we don't know who it comes from. They might give occasionally or sporadically. You know, spirit moves them, they'll throw some money in the plate, that kind of thing. The third category was people who would give systematically. That could be a penny to $30, $40, whatever it might be. And they give it every week faithfully. Systematically, it's there. And then the fourth category would be people that tithe. And I realize there's a gray area there because it kind of depends on the individual. We may have somebody who is on Social Security that tithes, that gives far less than somebody who is employed and still working, and they tithe. But nonetheless, I ask Kay to use her judgment. And I also would assure you that I know no names after that. Gave her the information. I said, "Kay, when you have this information, would you call me and just give me the numbers? And then I don't care what you do with the paper. I never want to see it." All right? I'll give you the results. Here we go. Out of 60 people groups, we have 18.3% of our 60 member groups that we have no record that they ever have given one red penny. There are 13.3% of our fold who give occasionally. Once in a while, they give, and we know, but our financial secretary knows who they are. We have 53.3% of our congregation that gives systematically. That means whatever that amount is, it's always there. You faithfully put it in. If there's six blizzards, six Sundays in a row, when you come back on the seventh, there'll be seven envelopes you'll put in that plate, and that's what you do. That's how you give. And then we found that 15.1% of our members, or of those 60 groups in that group, are tithers. And that's based on what Kay was able to discern from that. Now, for those of you that give faithfully, I commend you, because those numbers are pretty good. But I need to tell you that every one of us has a responsibility in meeting the financial needs of this ministry. we must remember, while there's lots of churches, then we could name them, that are sitting on great endowments and sitting on big bank accounts and sitting on all those kinds of assets, we don't have very much of that at all. Every bill is paid through the offerings. And recently, we've had $4,400 in oil bills, and we were able to pay about a little more than half of that. And the rest of it is waiting for more offering to come in just to be able to cover that. So we should never be deceived in thinking that we're fat and rich, because we're not. Promise number 6. A member promises to live by the teachings of the scriptures and the standards of the EC discipline. That promise really has to do with the way we live our lives. We are, in some ways, a holiness church. We believe in living a life that is holy. We are told to be holy because Christ is holy. And we also promise to live by the moral and social standards of the EC discipline. Only you know how you're doing with that. Promise number 7. A member promises to faithfully attend worship services, discipleship opportunities, and service opportunities. We promise commitment to these activities. I would tell you that I realize that we have individuals that have to work occasionally on Sundays. I spent some of my life having to do that. I realize that sometimes there are family commitments. Sometimes people go on vacation. There's things that go on in our lives that sometimes get in the way of our sincerity and really wanting to be here. I would also caution, however, that I believe sometimes the things that keep us from worship, keep us from discipleship, and prevent us from serving the Lord are really kind of lame, you know? Kind of like being asked out on a date and saying you got to stay home and wash your hair. You know, it's kind of, kind of lame, right? And so I would say that when later in our meeting, you'll see the attendance, the membership figures of our church. You'll see that we have, I believe, 226 members on the roll of this church. And yet our average attendance for 2010 was just a little over 100. On Christmas Eve, we can have 190 to 200 people, the same people. There might be a few visitors, but by and large, the same people that if they were all here the same Sunday, we'd have 190 people. But I believe sometimes we let too many things get in our way. And so I would just caution you. If you made a promise to attend, you made a promise to be part of those things, that you evaluate that promise, because the Lord wants us to keep the promises that we make. So, in conclusion, here's the final question. As members, are you keeping these promises? To what degree is it that you're fulfilling our mission? To what degree is it that you're supporting the ministries of this church? That's a question that you can only ask yourself. But nonetheless, it's important that we think about that. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity today to be able to visit that subject and to challenge you. Would you bow your heart with me? Father, we thank you that your word supports what we believe, and that the promises that we make, even as members, are supported in the scriptures. And Lord, I am very thankful for each of our members. I'm thankful, Lord, for the faithfulness and for the way in which this ministry and the works of this ministry are carried out. But Lord, I would pray, Lord, and would confess that many of us could reevaluate some of these promises, and many of us could have some adjustments that we might want to make in our lives. And so, Lord, you can speak to us through your Spirit and lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.